Our first reading is Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15, and can be found on page 74 of the Church Bibles. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven to you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all of the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him." "Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said. "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israeli community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israeli community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the clouds. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Reading is taken from Matthew chapter 20. Verses 1 to 16, and it can be found on page 987. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord.
May the word of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, redeemer, and salvation. Amen. Well, it has been a wonderful experience to be worshiping with you for the last 2 months with nice people, very hospitable, friendly, and yes, probably you have blessed me more than I have blessed you through my services here, so thank you very much for that. I am grateful to God for that. If you were in attendance on the first service that I led here, rather the first sermon that I preached was about feeding of the 5,000 within the broader theme of hospitality. And somehow this theme has been chasing me, it seems, and today again we are going to talk about something within the framework of that hospitality. And when we talk about hospitality, particularly in terms of food or feeding or satisfying our biological or physical hunger, I think hospitality is not possible unless there is a harvest. So harvest is very, very important. I should say that is actually the beginning of the process of hospitality. Today is the 16th Sunday after Trinity. Of course, we are celebrating Harvest Sunday. In fact, the readings that we had, both are actually related to the 16th Sunday after Trinity. But what a coincidence that they match very much with the Harvest Sunday themes. And there we see a vision, or rather, Matthew is helping us to envision the kingdom of God. Even before that, there are so many other parables which Jesus is actually using to tell the people, particularly his disciples, that what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And in this particular one, then he tells one story comparing the kingdom of heaven with a man. And this man is a landowner. We can say he had a vineyard and it was ready for harvest. What he does is he goes out looking for the laborers. Let's say employees. If we say he's an employer, employees. Nowadays, if you want to actually hire somebody, what we do is we just put it on our websites, circulate it in social media, put it on the notice board, then define the job descriptions, essential qualifications, all this and that. And then interested people would apply. There would be a process of interviews, yes? And then you see whether actually they have got the right skills or not, and then you do all this and that. But in Jesus' time, I think those facilities were not there. We know how Jesus recruited his disciples when he wanted to start his mission. Yeah? How he chose them. What are the qualities he saw in them? There is an imaginary letter written to Jesus. Let us just imagine that Jesus lived in our times. And he wanted to recruit his 12 disciples, people who would just, you know, work for him, for the kingdom of God. Yes? And how would that letter be? He would just hire what we say, a consultant organizations or a consultancy, which can actually recruit people and then, you know, say, okay, these are the people fit for your work. Let's say there was a management consultant by name Jordan Management Consultants. Jesus submitted the resumes, the biodatas of all the people that he wanted him to work with. And they had actually a review of all the CVs. And then they wrote to Jesus like this. The letter was like this. To Jesus, son of Joseph. Woodcrafter's carpenter shop, Nazareth, from Jordan Management Consultants. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all tests are included, and you will want to study each of them carefully. A part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance, much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without any additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew had been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely, Jordan Management Consultants. This is what would have happened if Jesus was recruiting his 12 disciples today. Because what the management consultants would see is just superficial in the sight of God. Because God, when he looks for people to work for him, would look much deeper and can even see the things that a management consultant cannot see. And then we know what Jesus has done. He picked up these people that a management consultant would normally reject. They were so committed and sincere. They understood their mission, that they are participating in the mission of God. And they did wonderfully well. And as a result of their works, the gospel spread. And if we are sitting here today, it is because of their hard work that they initially did and passed on to others. So our willingness and our availability is more important than our educational qualifications for God. Yes, God will equip us. Now this gentleman, the vineyard owner, he goes and finds such people who were not hired by others. Maybe because they did not have all those professional qualifications. He hired some people early in the morning because he needed them. He had a vineyard and that was ready for a harvest. Now, harvest is a timely thing. First 16 years of my life, I have lived in a village in India among the farmers. Of course, my family is not a farmer's family, but then we were surrounded by farmers. And I have seen that when it is time to harvest, the farmers really actually, they're excited about the harvest. Nowadays, you can buy a harvester and it can do the work of 10 people. But I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago when we were still very small, we have seen people just going to the field and harvesting manually. And it's so nice actually to see people harvesting crops manually and even different things, even fruits and other things. And that has to be done as quickly as possible. Otherwise, the crops will decay, will get wasted. Because it has taken a lot of efforts, a lot of resources to produce a harvest. And if it is not harvested in time, there is a danger of losing it. And this vineyard owner understands that, and therefore, he goes and hires some people in the morning, and then suddenly he realizes, oh, I need some more people because there is plenty to harvest. Sometimes I wonder, after having the first round of recruits, why he really needed some more? Okay, he wanted some more people, so he went after 3 hours and hired some more people. But then we see that if we say that the first group of people were hired at 9 o'clock in the morning, the second group of people were hired at noontime, 12 o'clock, and then again he went around 3 o'clock to hire some people. And his intention was actually not really to hire the third group of people, as we see, because he saw some people standing on the street and doing nothing, he was curious, what happened to these guys? Why are they standing here and doing nothing? And as he inquires, he finds out that nobody has hired them. And then he says, go and work. I will pay you. Now there was an agreement that I will pay you a day's salary. Three groups of people, they worked. And as we read the story, I think we are all tempted enough to identify ourselves with the first group of people who were recruited in the first days, the 9 o'clock workers who worked the whole day. our immediate thinking goes that, oh, it is an injustice. Yes, we keep ourselves in their foot, in their shoes, and say, oh no, this is injustice. We have toiled and we have done hard labor the whole day. Why? Because they saw that the people who were hired 3 o'clock in the afternoon and finished their job, let's say by 5 or 6 o'clock, just for working 2 hours, they were paid the same amount of money that they received. So normally, when such a thing happens, the immediate things that come to our mind or the immediate word that comes to our mind is justice. Is justice done? Has this man been just enough? Has he done justice? No. Because someone who has worked more, because time is money. This is something I actually came to know when I came to Europe. People say, oh, time is money, because we give our time, so we, that means it is money. And people give more time means they definitely expect more rewards. That was not happening. But let us try to identify ourselves with those who were hired at 3 o'clock. For time being, let us forget that we were not among those who came first or who were hired first, who were chosen first by God. I don't know. God was calling us from our childhood. And when was it that we responded to God's calling, God's invitation to join? Because God was just looking for everybody. And when did we respond to that? And when we put ourselves in the third group of people, then we get another perspective. And that is the perspective of grace. So the kingdom of God is about these two things, grace and justice. And most of the times we tend to think that how can these two go together? When you are so gracious, can you do justice? And when you seek justice, can you really show grace? But what Matthew is projecting in this gospel, and by giving this example, saying this parable, what Jesus is saying that, yes, it is possible that in kingdom of heaven or in the kingdom of God, grace and justice could go together, hand in hand. We cannot do one at the cost of the other. Both of them are equally important. Grace sometimes offends. And whom does it offend? Because we think that those who responded to God's calling first, we think that we deserve more grace from God than the others. And when that doesn't happen and God shows or God gives or God is equally graceful to others who came last, then we feel offended. And that often sometimes we say or we consider, oh, it is injustice. It's not like that. God is both gracious and just. It's all about actually grace. And it is God who decides whether we deserve it or not, we don't know. God gives us grace, and we should be thankful to God that despite of our disobedience, our failures, our weakness, God has been gracious to us. His grace has been sufficient for us. And therefore, we should be not, God doesn't want us to compete with each other. The verse says that the first would be last and the last would be first. It's not about competition. We are not running a race here. In the kingdom of God, there is no competitions. What it implies is that we should be together. Whether you are first or the last, in God's eyes, because God is gracious, we are all equal. And God treats us equally with the same amount, with the same measure of grace and mercy. That is important. And why he does that is because God, in God's economy of life, everybody matters. And in this Harvest Sunday, when we are here, remembering God's faithfulness and how God has been so kind to us, God has provided us with all our needs. God has given us a nice house to live, good, nutritious food to eat. But there are others who do not have such luxuries. They do not have even the basic needs of life. And therefore, God, in the God's economy of life, it is important that those who have must share with others. And harvest is all about that. It's not about only having the harvest, but having a harvest so as to be able to share with others. God doesn't want us to starve, and God wants us to share. God has always been mindful about our needs, even in adverse situations and conditions. When the Israelites were led out of Egypt, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And when they were there, they were not getting all the comforts and the luxuries that they were used to while they were in Egypt. Of course, they were slaves there. They were made to work very hard for their taskmasters. And when they were freed and they were led out of that place, because they were given a promise, they were said that, okay, we will take you to a promised land, a land believed to be flowing with milk and honey, was promised. And in the wilderness, then they suddenly realized, oh, this is not the promised land. We are not getting enough food to eat. And they remember their time, the time of eating in Egypt. They started complaining to Moses and Aaron, saying that, oh, our life was better off in Egypt. At least we are getting meat. That is the word used. But here, we are starving, because in the wilderness, there was no vegetation. There was hardship. But then they forgot that the God who led them out of Egypt through the waters and during the daytime covered them with actually the clouds, and in the nighttime he was the fire over them. They did not trust God yet that God would provide our needs as well. And as they started grumbling against God, we understand from this story that then God was so faithful in providing them with heavenly manna, the bread, and satisfied them so that people would believe. And today, God provides us equally. Every day we pray in our Lord's Prayer that give us our daily bread. We pray, we have it. There are many who are simply praying. And sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't have it. So as we pray, let us also remember those who do not have it. This is a wonderful gesture. We are participating in God's hospitality of actually welcoming, inviting, and reaching out to people with needs. This is a wonderful gesture. This is what God wants us to take. So in our harvest, when we are trying to be thankful to God, this is a harvest thanksgiving. We are thanking God. Let us at the same time, let us pray for the people around us, because they also deserve the grace of God equally. If God has given us His grace, we should be doing it now. God gives us because of His grace. But when we give it to people, it is not the grace. What we are doing is actually justice. So therefore, in the kingdom of God, this grace and justice go together. If we have not experienced the grace of God, we cannot do justice. And God has done both to us. God is a just God, God of harvest. Yes, it's time, as the owner of this vineyard went looking for the people, God is again looking for us, for His harvest. This harvest can be both literal and also figurative. God wants a harvest. And God wants all of us to be the laborers. Whether we have skills or no skills, it doesn't really matter to God. If we have skills, God will use us. If we don't have, God will equip us. We have to just willingly come forward and say that, Lord, I am available and I am willing. Just hire me to work in your vineyard. The invitation is still there. The search is still on. Now it is our turn to apply and get these positions. May God bless all of us. Amen.